The French-born director Olivier Assayas has hovered just below the radar of mainstream American filmgoers, despite a modest art house hit in 1996 with Irma Vep, starring Maggie Cheung. After a string of lurid melodramas, he's changed gears in his gentle drama Summer Hours, which stars Juliette Binoche and Charles Burling. The film opens this week in New York and also premieres on IFC Film's Video On Demand channel. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
Masterpieces make their own rules, and it's hard to think of a work I can compare to Olivier Assayas's hauntingly beautiful film, Summer Hours. It centers on works of art, yet it's the least arty film imaginable. The first third belongs to the time-honored genre of the country house family reunion. We're on a large, not fancy estate outside Paris on the birthday of a 75-year-old widow named Hélène, played by Edith Skobe, who inherited the place from her uncle, a famous artist and collector. She was devoted to him, and after his death, to his legacy. Now, Hélène knows her own time is short. She welcomes her three grown children and their families for their annual summer gathering, then quietly raises a question with the eldest, Frederick, an academic played by Charles Burling. What will happen to the house, the grounds, the paintings, the glassware, the hand-etched silver, the furnishings? It's all valuable, yet the works of art are displayed simply, without fuss, the priceless vases holding flowers. This estate is more than the sum of its individual parts. It represents an enduring culture that's meant to be woven through one's life, not in a museum, removed from it. The rest of the film, about an hour, is tightly focused. It centers on whether and how the estate should be broken up. Frederick assumes it won't be, that it will stay in the family, for his children and their children. But his sister, Adrienne, played by Juliette Binoche, has long since abandoned France, living in New York with her American boyfriend. And their younger brother, Jeremy, played by Jeremy Renier, has relocated his business to China. Yes, say Adrienne and Jeremy, it would be sad to give up the estate and sell off the collection, but that life is past, and they need money for the present. An obvious comparison is to Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard, which dramatizes the harsh coming of a new social order and the passing of one that's lovely but fundamentally useless. Underneath the mundane surface of Summer Hours, momentous forces can be felt. Globalization, the slow disintegration of old Europe, the triumph of economics over art. But the atmosphere isn't Chekhovian. The film is plain, tactile, nuts and bolts. In come the assessors and appraisers and auctioneers. How much will this armoire go for? Should this pair of Courtauds be broken up? Should we give these notebooks to Christie's in the U.S.? How much of an estate tax credit will a gift to this museum bring? As each object is appraised, another piece of Frederick's inner world dies, and the actor, Charles Burling, suggests a man racked by the fear of floating away along with his past. In the last decade, Assayas has made a slew of extroverted, erotic, sensationalistic dramas and thrillers like Demon Lover, Clean, and Boarding Gate, in which his subjects seemed caught on the fly and his camera fetishized everyone. In its tempo and volume, Summer Hours is a world apart, and yet it shares its predecessor's openness. His touch is relaxed but supremely alert, his framing loose yet vivid, his actors so good you never catch them emoting. Juliette Binoche, the least actressy of great actresses, shows Adrienne's restiveness by indirection, by never seeming rooted in the moment. Her scenes with Edith Skobe as her mother are uncanny. In the room where her uncle died, Hélène holds up his final sketch of the window and curtains, holds it up against that very window and curtains to show the connection between life and life preserved by the artist. It's no accident that Skobe is best known for the most lyrical of all horror films, Georges Franju's Eyes Without a Face, where she played a mute, melancholy, disfigured beauty, whose skin grafts are at first wondrous and then begin to rot. That face, aged but still lovely, carries a whiff of the tomb. that inexplicable awareness of decay in the summeriest of hours that's at the core of this great film.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. You can download podcasts of our show at our website, freshair.npr.org.